And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 12th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with Bassmaster ripping them lips. Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
Oh, we got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee, you must have liked that vegetable melody there. That was that
great
melody.
Where do you find
these,
JD?
Last but not least, making the magic happen, a one-man production company. It's J.D.
Hello.
There he is! And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube. Keep doing your thing. Like, comment, subscribe. We are something like 500-ish subs away from our initial goal of 25,000. We teased yesterday that we're going to drop Big Beef Volume
Big
1
beef.
As soon as we hit 25K. What does that even mean? Well, subscribe and find out. If we
subscribe
hit 25,000,
and find out is exactly yeah. Right, Skeets. It's for big boys only.
There you go. There you
and
go.
And ladies, of course.
So 25K, once we hit that, we're dropping Big B Volume 1 again. Even I don't know what that means, so I can't wait to find out. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' Podcast. Email them in nodunks@theathletic.com. Be a team player. Rep the brand. Get some fire No Dunks merch. Always available over at nodunks.com. Shout out to our friends at Breaking Tea. And if you haven't already, go snag yourself a subscription to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month for the best damn sports writing in the world. We got Hall of Famer David Aldridge, former NBA executive John Hollinger, and today's guest, yes, today's guest, Zach Harper. Yeah, that's right. Talk Hoops himself is going to be joining us later in this podcast to discuss his latest power rankings and why he jinxed the Suns and the Pacers and so much more. So Zach Harper is going to join us a little bit later here. But let's start today with a little What You Got.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, a little What You Got. The games last night, the late games got interesting, and we're going to touch on those, but the first ones, let's be honest, they were sort of duds. So, this caught my eye yesterday, and I was fascinated to get your take, guys. Yesterday, John Hollinger of The Athletic and Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer, shout out to KOC, they made the case, basically, that Bradley Beal maybe has more trade value around the league than James Harden does. I think it's an interesting thought experiment, and it is really a good, great question for you two guys, especially the two stands here. We know TK loves him some Harden. We know Lili loves him some Beal. So it's a what you got. It's a would you rather. Would you rather trade for Bradley Beal or James Harden, you know, right now? TK, get us started. What you got?
Come on, Skeets, you want the real thing or you want the imitation? Of course you're trading for James Harden. You want a Rolex or a Folex? You're paying a little more to get the real deal, but come on, it's worth it. James Harden is a guaranteed playoff berth in the Western Conference. The Western Conference, the good one. Mm. Not so much for Bradley Beal. James Harden, an MVP conversation. He's going to finish top five every single season. Bradley Beal, last year, best year of his career. 36-4. That's an average James Harden season. And the Wizards won 25 games. The argument to me for Beal is that he's younger. And that's it. Because James Harden is a better version of Bradley Beal. If Bradley Beal could get to James Harden's level, he probably wouldn't be trying to get out of Washington.
Yeah, I think there's maybe only two reasons why I actually would lean towards Beal. One, you said the younger thing. That's big. And I know KOC and Hollinger brought that up. 4 years younger. That's, you know, that's something there. We may not even have seen the best of Bradley Beal yet. It's fair to say. And the other reason is, and KOC, I think it was the one that noted this, Beal maybe does have the more malleable game, right? That you could sort of plug into any system. Harden's ball dominant, definitely more ball dominant, and Beal could hypothetically fit better in more places. I think there's some truth to that, but that's just my opinion. Lee, you got Beal or Harden? Who is, who would you rather trade for?
Well, I think it does come down to where is he going to go? Because, for example, I think Bradley Beal to the Mavericks would be a good fit alongside Luka Doncic. I don't think James Harden next to Luka Doncic would be as good a fit because they both have a similar style of game. Beal can play off the ball, and Beal can also be the facilitator and playmaker when he has to be. So I think that's a better fit for him. But then again, if you were taking James Harden, let's say, what's an example? Maybe the Raptors, if you were going to give up Kyle Lowry, then he fits into a better system there in that situation. So it depends on the fit and the team he's going to. And also you have to look at right now where the two players are. James Harden started off, his first game was great, but he's kind of been hot-dogging a little bit out there recently, and it looks like he's pouting. It looks like he wants to get out of Houston, and he's not putting up the numbers that we are used to seeing, which, as Trey mentioned there, I mean, he puts up 35, 5, and 5, basically, or more than that, of course, but more in his sleep. But right now, maybe James Harden's heart's not quite in it. So his value is a little bit lower, whereas Bradley Beal is probably dying to get to a situation where he is on a playoff contender, and he is on a season, on a team that has actually got hopes of not just making the playoffs, but actually going deep into the playoffs. James Harden's teams have been deeper into the playoffs. So there's that to consider. Also, their contract lengths as well. James Harden's got that enormous contract still that he's owed, whereas Bradley Beal can be a free agent at the end of next season. And so there's those things to consider. But in terms of players, James Harden certainly has achieved more in his career to this point. But does that really count going forward if James Harden perhaps brings a little bit of baggage, which he's carrying right now, both in terms of his performance and his physical condition? So, you know, clearly Bradley Beal is, I'm more of a fan of his than James Harden, but James Harden, certainly if he goes to the right situation, maybe he'll be rejuvenated and be an MVP candidate again. I don't think he is this season so far, but certainly we know he can go out there and put up 50 points, 60 points against anybody. Bradley Beal has also shown that he can get maybe not quite those 50s and 60s in the same way that Harden can, but he can get you 40, 45 pretty easily as well.
He's averaging 39, 6, and 6 in the month of January now. Bradley Beal is. I mean, that is Harden-like for sure.
It's getting there. But you know, James Harden, when he goes on those stretches where he's just on fire, like we have seen, I mean, you know, Beal hasn't had a prolonged period like that. But again, he's a different player as well. He's different sort of style of playing. So, it comes down mainly to fit, which team he's going to go to and how he's going to slot in next to the other star player there.
Let me ask you this then. If you're the Philadelphia 76ers, I'll go to you here first, Trey. Would you rather Harden or Bradley Beal? And I know it depends on what you'd be giving up to get him, but let's say it's pretty comparable.
Am I giving up Ben Simmons? That's the big question.
Probably.
I'm giving up Ben Simmons, give me Harden in a second. Because they're going to need somebody to handle the ball. Somebody to make all the plays. And you're right, Lee. He's not into the season. James Harden isn't. You're seeing people in the stream team saying character matters. I agree. But also scoring matters, assists matter. James Harden has led the league in scoring 3 times. He's led the league in assists once. He's leading the league in assists right now, despite not really caring to play for the Rockets. If he gets to a new team, he's going to be completely rejuvenated, playing for a championship contender. I think this is an easy choice. I think Bradley Beal would trade spots with James Harden in a second. I think Bradley Beal would like to win more than 50% of his games once in his career. He's won 3 playoff series? That's a season for Harden. Give me James easy.
Lee, same question.
Yeah, I mean, the Simmons for Harden is a huge question, because if you're getting the best version of James Harden, then absolutely no question the Sixers make that deal. And so do the Rockets, because they get a young star player in return and they get away from Harden, who clearly doesn't want to be there. But if you're getting the James Harden we've seen so far this season, then it becomes a lot riskier, I think, for Philadelphia, because you just think, is he going to turn it on? Is he going to flip that switch? We know he can do it, but you just sort of want to see him play his way out of Houston by playing the right way, rather than just kind of waiting to be traded, which I think we're seeing from him a little bit right now. You know, because clearly he's not in, even though he's a bigger guy, carries a little bit more weight, but we haven't seen him quite in this shape before. Even though out on the court, he's still performing to a sort of as much as he wants to perform. You know, he had that 44 and 17 game to start the season, and people were saying, look at how big he is. He hasn't reached that level again yet, but we know he's capable of doing it. So if you're getting that version of James Harden, the best version of James Harden, then the Sixers do it in a heartbeat. But if you have any concerns that maybe James Harden is just like, I don't even know if I'm into it at all this season, then it becomes a bigger risk there for Philadelphia.
Right. But we think the reason for him hot-dogging, as you called it, lollygagging, whatever you want to call it, going through the motions, is because he's demanded a trade from Houston, and he's still playing for the Houston Rockets. And he's
right,
like,
absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
And but, I'm not saying that's the way to go about it. You know, yeah. You should be a pro and all that and still play your ass off. But I'm going to bet, like Trey's saying, if he's moved to another team, we're going to see the Harden of old. That's my guess. I don't think he's suddenly become like, you know, a B player. He's still A-plus sure. I think it's his attitude.
That's the thing. His attitude is bad right now. And his body language is bad. There's just no question about that whatsoever. And just the whole situation there in Houston. I mean, the Rockets have given him everything for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he deserves to at least play his way out of there the right way if he's going to go and continue to have his trade value at its absolute maximum, because I don't think it is right now. I think it has taken a little bit of a hit because he's available. A superstar MVP caliber player is available, and it feels like teams are sort of a little bit more hesitant right now. Maybe it's to do with his contract. Maybe it's to do with the demands of what the Rockets want in return.
Right.
You know, they want to
because that's what KOC has been saying in the Ringer article. He's saying maybe the Rockets are actually hoping they can keep Harden around for this year. Now that John Wall is there playing well, obviously Christian Wood is looking like an all-star, like that they can keep him happy enough to keep playing for them and still be like he usually
is.
Like Trey said, still a good team because he's on your team.
Because he's still a great player. And the Rockets know what they get in him as far as the performance, apart from this season, they know what you're getting out of him. Whereas anyone you bring in, you have to start again. So it's a very interesting thing. And it's going to be interesting to see now what happens over these next few weeks, whether or not he does return to that sort of superstar form, or he just continues to kind of be like, I'm out of here and I'm just checked out until I'm traded to a new team.
Mm-hmm. And then there are like whispers that Ben Simmons isn't even playing for the Sixers right now because he knows he's going to be traded for James Harden. That's only happening in mere hours as soon as we're done recording this podcast.
How many imminent James Harden trades have we had already this season? We've gone to bed so many nights thinking, we're talking about James Harden being traded in the morning. Maybe it'll never happen. Maybe he'll be a Rocket for life.
No way. I'm still convinced it's happening. I thought maybe it would have happened by now. But, you know, you start to get these articles and you start going, oh, that might be the Rockets trying to throw that out into the world. Like, oh, no, we're happy with James Harden. Well, why would you say that? Well, you're trying to get a team to throw in another pick, to throw in another young player, like that are getting a little desperate. Now, the Wizards got a win last night, and I know we're going to talk to probably Zach Harper a little bit about that because he had the Suns high in the power rankings and they lose. So they got a win. Beal was awesome. Gave him whoa, boy. I mean, he nearly had a triple-double, 34 points. He was special. And you know, the Rockets didn't play, so we can't compare the two last night. But, it's just funny timing that, well, okay, Harden is maybe now off the trade block. Well, who's the next big superstar? Like, who just goes bumps up to the top of the list? And there aren't a lot of names, as KOC pointed out, too. It's like Beal, and then it's like, you know, maybe Zach LaVine, maybe DeRozan, maybe Lowry, of course, with the Raptors. It's like, it sort of goes pretty dry pretty quickly. My other little takeaway from the article from Kevin, he has 14 front office executives, which teams come to mind as a sleeper for a blockbuster deal, okay? Because we know we talk about the Sixers a lot and a couple other teams that have always come up with the Harden and Beal talk. Six of the executives responded with the Pelicans, which I think is a little interesting, right? I mean, David Griffin, not afraid to make a big move. They have a ton of draft picks because of, you know, moving Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. So they have so many draft picks to play with, and they have young talent. And they have a coach in Stan Van Gundy that you look at, and I mean, we talked about it when they first got him. We were like, oh, that's a team that wants to win right now. I mean, do you think there's a possibility, Trey, that Griff would do something like that? He sees Harden available and pulls the trigger for that?
Well, David Griffin is very smart. Stan Van Gundy likes to run pick and roll. Seems like a match to me, especially when you throw in the fact that New Orleans is an excellent party city eventually. I mean, it seems like a perfect fit for James Harden. Can you imagine him and Zion next to each other, both wearing those blocky City Edition uniforms with the blue on top, the red around the waist? They look like a bunch of chunky boys out there, but they'd get some baskets. There's no doubt about that. I don't know. To me, it's like Harden will instantly go back to putting up 35 and 15 as soon as he gets to another team. And, you know, a lot of teams we saw throughout this reporting on James Harden and how he's been in the mix for trade offers have said, oh, man, it's ridiculous what he's done to the Rockets. But are they wrong? We would actually maybe do the exact same thing. The talent is immense with Harden, and you're gonna get the best from him whenever you're the team that actually says, yeah, we want you, man. We're willing to give up stuff for you and try and win a championship here. That's not Houston right now, despite the fact that they seem to have found some decent pieces around him. Mm-hmm. I could see it happening with the Pelicans. They've got some defensive players there too, which might be a nice supporting cast for James Harden. We saw that work with the Rockets, obviously. I can see that being in the mix. People in the stream team are saying, Zach LaVine and change for James Harden, make my day. Oh yeah, that definitely would.
Would definitely make your day. You would buy a Harden Bulls jersey instantaneously.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. That would be a tough one, Skeets. 13, why? That was my basketball number, but that's also Joakim Noah's Bulls number. Oh, are they going to reissue that jersey for a living legend?
I don't know. Some of the other teams that the executives responded with too here before we wrap this up, Lili, was the Heat. Now, they've sort of always been linked to like a blockbuster player. Two said the Knicks. Okay. The Mavericks, you mentioned them. You love them as a spot for Beal. And then the Nuggets and the Spurs because of probably some of their contracts and some of their older players could get it done. So I thought that was interesting. Go check that out. Hollinger writing about it on The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And KOC writing at The Ringer. Great topic. Let's hear from the stream teamers and, of course, tweet at us as well at nodunksinc. All right, our next one. Let's get to some of the games because the late games were... I was going to say they were entertaining, but as a Raptors fan, they were heart-wrenching. Siakam missed another game winner, second night in a row, had a look at it. This one a lot closer inside, but it didn't fall. And McCollum's shot before that, he lifted the Blazers to the 112-111 win over the Raptors. And then we also had the Kings holding off the Pacers, high-scoring affair, 127-122. They got some help from the replay center, shout out to Joe Borgia, and we had a big Fox dunk and Harrison Barnes on fire. Bigger win last night, though. Was it the Blazers over the Raptors, that one-point victory coming back, or the Kings, who, you know, that's a quality win over a good Indiana Pacers team. What you got, Lee?
I'm going with the Sacramento Kings because they desperately needed a victory last night and it looked like they were going to blow it in typical Kings style. They were leading this game and then the Pacers took over and you thought, that's it, the Kings are going to blow this. But they didn't. They hung on. And I've got to give a huge shout out to Rashawn Holmes. His fourth quarter was incredible. Four blocks. And on the play that Buddy Hield hit the three that put him up by four, it was his hustling play. He didn't sort of get it clean, but he kept the ball alive. It went out to Buddy Hield. He knocks down that three-pointer, and that basically sealed it. Then De'Aaron Fox had that huge dunk at the end of it. But Rashawn Holmes, I mean, his energy on the defensive end is so important to the Kings because they've got such an awful defense otherwise. And Holmes last night, there was that one play, the goaltending play there on Domantas Sabonis, which wasn't a goaltend. It was a great overturn by the officials there because it was a great block. And he just gave them that energy that they're needing because the Kings in the last, I think it's four games in a row now, they've given up 120 points. And finally, they get a win because if you're giving up that many points, teams are just scoring anytime you want. And so for the Kings to actually hang on and get a victory against a very good team too, a very good disciplined team, a good closing team like that, I think is huge. The Raptors, Skeetsy, I don't know, man. They shouldn't have lost this one, but they did. They're just in a bit of a funk right now.
Man.
But I'm going with the Kings. And Tom Zilla, his newsletter this morning basically said, for the Kings, make it make sense because they look awful at times. The Raptors, actually, their last win came against the Kings when they put up 144 points.
Yeah.
The Kings, you just expect them to blow things. And they didn't last night. They hung on for a victory. So I'm going with the Sacramento Kings. Also, I just didn't really want to rub it into you, Skeetsy. I'll let you sort of say whatever you want about the Raptors.
I mean, at this point, it's like, as a Raptors fan, would you rather just your team lose by 20 points or lose by one, you know, at the buzzer, you have a chance with your, you know, your star player in Siakam coming up short, unfortunately, now back-to-back nights. I don't know what's worst. I really don't. Like, here I am, Trey, last night. It's a late game, of course, on the West Coast. I'm watching it in bed. I took it to bed. Sometimes, you know, those late games, I'll take the phone, I'll take the iPad, and I'm lying down in bed. We got Luna, the puppy. She's sleeping. Nora's out cold. And I'm watching it, so here we go. All right. You know, Raptors looking good. They build a lead. Oh, here come the Blazers. Oh, here comes Melo. Oh, boy. Here we go. Oh, McCollum hits a great shot. That was a beautiful shot from CJ McCollum. He's cold-blooded. And then, all right, well, here we go again. And, you know, Siakam, they post him up this time. He's obviously the number one option this night. You know, he wasn't in the Warriors game. I think that was sort of a bailout, and he gets it in the backcourt, and then he tries to create. Obviously, we already talked about that. But he does his, like, you know, little up and under spinaroos and had a good look. It's played well. You know, it's that little papa shot, sort of little dinker dumper, really, from Siakam, and it doesn't fall. And I just looked at my phone. I went to Twitter. I put a frowny emoji and then put it down and just rolled over and went to sleep, like, instantaneously. And I woke up this morning singing something along the lines of, I still believe in my basketball team. I was singing that when I woke up this morning. Because I was like, the last thing I did right before I fell asleep was saw my team lose another heartbreaker. And Siakam had a monster game. He had the triple-double. He played really, really well. But they come up short. So, Trey, I guess my it was a long way to ask, would you just rather your team lose by 20 points or lose at the buzzer? I mean, like, or have a chance.
Oh, man, I don't know, Skeets. I felt very bad last night because it honestly reminds me, this season for the Raptors right now reminds me of the start of the season for the Bulls last year, where they would get these massive leads. They would go into every fourth quarter with a 10-point lead, and somehow they would figure out a way to blow it. I don't know what is going on with the Raptors, because Siakam had a great game last night.
Great
he
game.
Was really giving it to him in the post. He was scoring. You know, there was definitely times when Robert Covington was coming out on top in that matchup, but in general, Siakam looked like he was in control, looked like he was getting the shots he wanted, and he got a pretty nice look there at the end as well. Posting up, I think, is a tough look for any player regardless. Like, you don't see a lot of ISOs for a post-up all around the league, even for a big guy. You know, that's definitely a 90s thing, but he made a nice move. He got a nice shot. Just wouldn't drop. Similar to the Jonas Valanciunas versus LeBron not too long ago, where the ball was just on the rim so many times. Couldn't drop. But I don't know. I would try something else at the end of the game. I mean, I know they didn't try to get Siakam the ball against the Warriors. Draymond really blew things up, and it had to be a create situation for Siakam. But he's so much better when he's on the move, when he has somebody setting a screen for him and tilting the defense so that he can attack. Maybe give it to Fred VanVleet. Maybe give it to Kyle Lowry. I know they're shorter guys, so it can be tougher for them to get some shots off, but I would try something different. Siakam is a great scorer for 47 minutes, but when you give him the ball and say, go against the set defense, it's tough times.
Yeah, he scores in the flow of a game. And this is where, like, I mean, to make a weird baseball comparison, it's like he just pitched like 8 great innings and they still have him going, you know, to close it out in the ninth in a close game. And, you know, he gives up the dinger as the pitcher. He just can't close it. And that's sort of what he struggled again last night. He couldn't close it, despite having an amazing game. That's all you're going to remember. Or people that didn't watch the game are going to go, oh, well, there's your star player. He's not clutch. And I wonder if it's true, because you're right, Trey. I'm with you. And this was always the worry. He's not like a give him the ball and go create some space and get us a bucket. Because it's not really who he is. It's not. I don't know if he'll add it. I just don't know if he'll ever be that, because they, and like, both these shots fall and we're saying, oh, okay, you know, the Raptors are back on their way and they're winning these games. Like, he had their looks he can make. That's the thing. They weren't like insane, like just like falling out of bounds and tripping over himself and like fumbling it away. Like, they're shots he can make, but he is not that guy. Though you said do something else. I don't know the Raptors have that guy. As much as I love Lowry and VanVleet, like you said, the size, it's a limitation in that moment, right? When the defense is focused on a particular player, because there's, you know, less than 10 seconds and you sort of have an idea where it's going to go. Can they create the space? So what do you think, Lee? Like, I mean, are Raptors fans, or not even like casual NBA fans, are they being too hard on Siakam here? He's played really well over his last 5 games, but has obviously come up short.
Yeah, it's write the story when the ball's in the air. If he hits these last 2 shots in the last 2 nights, then yeah. Oh, see, Akam's back. He's clutch. He can finish games. He is the guy they go to at the end of the game. That's just how fine the line is between being a GOAT for the right reasons and a GOAT for the wrong reasons. That's what it comes down to. Siakam, I like the fact that Nick Nurse is like, you're our star. We're going to you. Don't worry about what happened last night. We're going back to you again tonight and just see what happens. And again, that ball drops in. Or if he switches that one the night before against the Warriors, it's like, see, you can trust this guy at the end of the game. Then he just had to shake off that bad start to the season. So I still think, again, that the Raptors will be fine. I believe in their continuity. They've been obviously competing a lot better these last couple of games. And they did have a big blowout victory against the Sacramento Kings. It's just when things aren't going your way, that's what happens sometimes. And again, you've got to give credit to the Portland Trailblazers last night, because they seem to be down this entire game. But as we know in the NBA, you just go on a little bit of a run there and then you get the right break at the end. And CJ McCollum afterwards, he said, listen, I work on this. This is not an accident for me. That sort of shot is really in his bag.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to get to his spot.
Yeah, Raptors could use a guy like that could get that shot. That's what we're getting at.
And he got a good shot. But the Raptors had a chance to win. They've had a chance to win the last 2 games against 2 good teams playing good basketball. Just can't do it. I still think Siakam is going to be fine. And I certainly wouldn't be trading him or anything like that right now. Ride out this rough patch, and hopefully the Raptors get back on track soon, because I think they will.
Yeah, what are they, 2-8 now?
Yeah,
2-8. Greatest 2-8 team in NBA history. Hey, I'm telling you.
Two bounces away from being 4-4 and back at 500. You know, that's just how fine the line is. So, I just feel that the Raptors, if they keep playing the way they're playing, these things are going to turn their way soon. And all of a sudden, you'll see them rattle off 5 in a row and back in town. Get Bazy on the court though. Come on, man. The defense is
bad enough already. They don't need to play Baines anymore. They gave up 36 in the fourth quarter. I mean, we do talk a lot about Siakam because he's the star player and he's taking these clutch shots, but this is a team that's defense hasn't been good enough to win, especially in fourth quarters. If you're coming in with a 15-point lead and you're a team that has a championship pedigree, you got to win one of them.
Yeah, and that was the Raptors' MO. They had a lead last year. They almost never gave it up. They were just like, always win those games with their defense. You're right, Trey. And they can't. Look, Alex Len got the start. Okay, that, you know, didn't last all that long. He got embarrassed sort of in the second quarter. Boucher needs the most minutes at the Raptors' center position. He's earned it at the vastly outplaying Baines and Len. And, you know, and it was his birthday and he had a good game. Like, he's actually contributing. But
it was his birthday.
Yeah, man. Well, Devlin told us it was his birthday about 8 times in the broadcast. So I was laughing every time.
He hit that crazy 3 from the corner. That was a hilarious one because at that point, like you're saying, he'd been yelling, it's his birthday quite a bit.
Yeah.
This one, he just tossed it over to Leo. What day is it? It's his birthday. That was a gift of a shot. That was nice.
I love when Devlin tries to get Leo to, like, do something that Jack would do, because he was trying to get Leo to sing happy birthday with him, but Leo's like, I'm not doing that. I don't have a great voice. And, you know, Jack would have been, of course, singing away. I love that. The chemistry is hilarious. So, good win for the Kings. Good win for the Blazers. You're mellow, man. Holy. You know, always nice to get a little, even if I'm a Raptors fan, always nice to see, like, a little mellow flashback there where he catches fire, has an impact.
Talking trash.
Oh, yeah.
Talking trash to the Raptors bench there. And he said, that's what you live for, those moments. You know, there's no fans there, so you hear that noise a little bit more, hits those shots, talks a little trash. He's, it's good to have a little bit of rejuvenated mellow out there.
Yeah, and my final thought on the Raptors, because their defense is not, like, carrying them to these victories, it feels like they need their star players, you know, really in Siakam, Van Vliet, and Lowry, to all have good games all on the same night, and they're struggling to find that. Like Van Vliet was the one last night that was sort of like, you know, missing in action a little bit. He's probably exhausted from chasing around Steph Curry, you know, the night before for 40 plus minutes. And then he's got to get Lillard. He's doing his best on that end. It's like the defense is just not, he's playing great defense. Don't get me wrong, but it's just, not taking him through to the finish line. So that is a gut punch of a loss. The Raptors are just getting like kicked in the nuts by Chun-Li right now, or like E Honda slaps just non-stop night after night after night. It's brutal. All right, I know we got Zach Harper, we got to get him on here, but just quickly, a couple more questions for you guys. Who's having the sneakier good season? That's how I'm asking it. Gordon Hayward or Chris Middleton? What you got? Who you got, Lee?
Well, I don't know if Gordon Hayward's sneaky anymore. He's since he's had that career-high night with the 44 points 4 games ago, the Hornets are on a tear. They've won 4 in a row, and he's been really, really good. So I think it's kind of blown him up a little bit more, whereas the Milwaukee Bucks, and especially Chris Middleton, I think they're sort of flying under the radar. I think everyone's kind of like, we've been talking about the Bucks the last couple of seasons. They've flamed out in the playoffs. We're not really keeping our eye on them right now. We know they're a good team. We know Middleton's a good player, but it's like the Bucks haven't sort of lit the world on fire either right now, whereas the Hornets are a good story. They're a fun watch. They've got LaMelo Ball. They're playing good basketball, and they're winning games. And Hayward is averaging a career high. So I think the answer is Middleton, but it's just great to see Gordon Hayward coming in here. When he signed that big contract, it was kind of like, oh, man, is he really going to make that much of a difference? And right now, the Hornets are starting to figure out, like, okay, he is our guy. He's our go-to guy to score the ball. And let's go through him. Let's go through him and see what he can do. And again, it's not just him. There's some other factors there for Charlotte. But I think Gordon Hayward's having a very good season. So I think the answer is Chris Middleton.
Yeah, this is a tough one, Trey, because let me just give you the stats for both of these guys. Gordon Hayward, 22.5 points per game, 5-4. He's currently in the 50-40-90 club. I know it's incredibly early, but his usage percentage back to his Jazz days, you know, he signed that big 4-year, $120 million deal, and he's delivering, especially in these victories. Middleton, 22.5 points per game, 7-6. He hasn't missed a shot, I don't think. His shooting splits are 55 from the floor, 49 from three, and 94 lately. I know that gives you a boner from the line. He's hitting over 4 threes a game. He's got the same PER as like Luka Doncic. And I think both of these guys are a little bit under the radar. So who do you have in this question? The sneakier good season right now, Trey?
I'm with Lee on this one. Yeah. I think that Middleton is having a more sneaky season because he's an underrated player to begin with. He's an under-the-radar player, and he's playing on a Bucks team that we've seen now in this incarnation for what? I don't know. This is maybe the fourth season, yeah, and this is at least the third season that they're going to be a championship contender. It's going to be tough for people to care about the Bucks the way that their playoffs have gone the past couple of seasons until, you know, they string together 18 straight wins or whatever it was last year. They'll have a streak where they look like the best team in the league, and then we'll start talking about Chris Middleton having a 50-50-90 season because Lee's right. If you go on a House of Highlights page, if you go on an MLG Highlights, you're seeing a whole bunch of Gordon Hayward clips. That guy dunked on Nerlens Noel last night. That guy caught a full court pass and somehow shot a 12-foot jumper. Incredible stuff. But the Bucks, it's like, yeah, we expect you to win. We expect Giannis to put up huge numbers. Chris Middleton, you're probably going to be an all-star, averaging 22 to 25 a game. We know what we're seeing, whereas Gordon Hayward's a little bit shinier, a little newer there in Charlotte, yeah, putting the team on the map again. Whereas Middleton is just doing the same incredible stuff that he has been doing, and he's slept on to begin with, and we're sleeping harder on him right now.
Yeah, I think you guys got the right answer here. I think also a part of it, too, is, of course, Middleton is not the best player on his team. That's going to Giannis, despite putting up those amazing numbers, like I said. Whereas Hayward is the face right now of the franchise, and that's even with LaMelo getting some love and buzz and some of their other young talent coming through and Terry Rozier having his moments. It's Hayward when you're putting up, like, you know, those 30-point nights and getting victories. That's the other part, like they did last night. That's, you know, you're not as quiet maybe. But it's still a sneaky good season if you ask me right now. Those numbers for both those guys, especially the efficiency, is just lights out. Final one here. You brought up that 12-foot baseline jumper there from Hayward. Now, that was led by a LaMelo full-court pass. I think Lili was Mr. Worldwide Wob last night tweeting that one out. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's how he captioned it. And then I think it was UTK, correct me if I'm wrong, sort of asking the question on our Twitter page, who would be like the other teammate with LaMelo in NBA Jam? Because he's a no-brainer just with the highlights there. Would it be Hayward, Bridges, or Terry Rozier? Who would be LaMelo Ball's, you know, current day NBA Jam teammate? What's the answer, Trey? You asked the question, I think it was you. Was it you or was it Tass or I don't know?
When it comes from the factory, you never know.
You never know. Yeah.
You never know. It's a union factory, so it's all the same. Right. But it's a tough question. Gordon Hayward, clearly the best player on the Hornets, the most important player. He's their best scorer. He's probably their second best passer. He's their best player. He's an all-star candidate, no doubt about it. Terry Rozier, though, has been having a very, very solid season. He's shooting 43% from three, averaging 19.5 a game. He's not having to do as much assisting now, so he's only down to three. He's not quite the lead ball handler. I can see him sitting next to LaMelo, having fun, playing a fast game on NBA Jam, but give me Sky Miles Bridges. The numbers aren't crazy. They're not going to wow you. He's only at about, 9 points per game right now, but he is an instrumental part of this team, I feel like, playing defense, getting up and down the court, and he would be an incredible alley-oop duo alongside LaMelo, because like we're saying, LaMelo's a guaranteed highlight. You're flipping on these highlight channels, he's getting highlights cut because he scored 8 points. You don't see a thing that says 8 points, and you're like, oh, I gotta see this. If they're cutting highlights for an 8-point game, something must be special. I love it when Bridges and LaMelo are on the court together. Bridges and LaMelo have formed or are part of a lot of the most successful lineups that the Hornets have been running out, probably because they've been playing against benches versus starters, but they have been an effective duo, and that would be the team I would go for, because you also need somebody that's going to push people, right? When you're pushing, or when you're playing defense in NBA Jam, a lot of it is pushing, and I like the jacked nature of Miles Bridges to be helping there.
Yeah, a little throwback to Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson Hornets days. You get those biceps and those shoulders. Lee, that's the one video game I know you've played in your life, NBA Jam.
Oh,
so
yeah,
who's your teammate for LaMelo?
Yeah, I think it is Bridges too, because he gives you the dunks. You're shooting 43% from three this season. Well, I know that doesn't always really count, but if you can get a guy who can hit those threes out there with LaMelo, who's not a great shooter, then I think that's great. So, yeah, I would go Bridges because he would do those somersault, fly high in the air dunks to come down and jam it. And, you know, it's funny, like, talking about NBA Jam, because I know Shea Serrano's got an actual, you know, the whole box of, you know, what do you call it? Like the whole arcade version. Yeah. Gotta get one, man. I gotta get one. I want to get to play with my kids because it's just such a fun game to play. And, you know, you're always in it. There's never really a huge blowout in NBA Jam because guys can always just get hot and the computer kind of makes it like if you are down.
It's called rubber. It's called rubber banding. Yeah, it's built into the game. Yeah, if you get a lead,
that guy who isn't a great shooter all of a sudden catches on fire. So yeah, I think LaMelo and Miles Bridges would be a great duo.
Look at you guys sleeping on Gordon Hayward and his sneaky good season. You guys are taking a guy because he could dunk over a guy because he's 30? Crazy.
Cool.
That is a fun one. We have it up on our Twitter page. So go vote in the poll or let's hear from you guys over there at No Dunks Inc. or let us know in the stream team or in the YouTube comments.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. Zach Harper is an NBA staff writer for The Athletic. You've also heard him on The Athletic NBA show podcast. You've seen him chopping it up with Big Waz on The Restricted Area over on YouTube as well. I think he's got like another 20 gigs too. So Zach, if he's there, there he is. Zach Harper, what's up? We're talking hoops Hoops. What's up, man? How you doing?
Yeah. Excellent. I think it's easy that it's Miles Bridges as the NBA champion. No one's looking for a 12-foot jumper in NBA Jam. You wanted the guy that can tear the rim off. No one wants Gordon Hayward out there.
That's true. But Gordon Hayward is like, he's not only having a sneaky good season, he's sneaky strong, guys. So that's he can push some people around too. Yeah, the dunk.
Yeah, he's a good player, but you want fun. No one's running a pick and roll in the NBA Jam. No one's doing that.
What was your old school go to NBA Jam team, Zach?
So, as a kid, you're kind of an idiot, or at least I was for sure. So my sneaky team was, I liked the Mavericks because it was Derek Harper. So I'd hear Harper and then Isolino. And I just loved yelling. My friends and I would always yell, Isolino! Like, we would do that constantly. So that was the one. But I was a Sonics dude with GP and Kemp. I loved that team. That was the go-to.
All right. Well, we wanted to have you on here today, obviously to talk hoops with you. You're already signed.
NBA Jam.
What?
Let's just talk NBA Jam.
I know it's the power rankings, and this happened last year with the back end of the power rankings. I'd put a team 30th, and then they'd win like three straight, and it was the curse of me, not the curse of the team. But now it's happened in the front end of the power rankings. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, your week 4 power rankings up on The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get that subscription so you can read Zach every week with these power rankings. Yeah, so you had the Lakers won. You kept them there. That makes sense. And then you had the Suns all the way up at number two. You had the Pacers all the way up at number three. They've been playing great basketball. And then what happens last night? Suns lose a stinker to the Wizards. And the Pacers, as we just talked about, fall short to the Kings. So this is the curse of Zach Harper here, is it?
I think so. I think it is. Because it's not that the Suns lost. They got obliterated by a horrible team, right? Yeah. Like, that's the issue. And then with the Pacers, I can deal with them losing a West Coast road trip game. But, like, to the Kings, who I said, this is the worst team in basketball. And they have the worst defense in NBA history, which they still do after that game.
Right.
But I was watching that game, and I don't really root for stuff anymore. Like, I just want good basketball. Mm-hmm. But I got to admit, when Buddy Hield hit that three in the corner, I was like, come on, guys. You're supposed to blow this game. It was at that point I knew, all right, I'm just cooked this thing.
Yeah. Is that what it's like on Mondays? You're just watching the games like, oh my goodness.
I'll just like keep an eye on the games on Monday, like on my phone. And then if there's something really good, I'll go watch it. But usually Mondays, I'm like, I got to get away from basketball. It's been too much. And I know I'm just going to look like more of an idiot than usual.
What of those two teams, who do you have more faith in? The Suns or the Pacers? You know, more faith in being still in your top five as the season goes on.
Surprisingly, I think the Suns, like the Pacers are great, right? Mm-hmm. Pacers are really, really good, and Sabonis is good. Oladipo looks like he's mostly back, although he's making a few confusing decisions each night. Brogdon's been great. Miles Turner's blocking everything. Like, they're really good, and in the East, I think, you know, you can feel comfortable with them. But there's something about this Suns team, and I mentioned this before, but the fact that Booker's not going crazy, Chris Paul's not going crazy, they're just playing good team basketball, like, that seems more sustainable to me, because once Booker gets cooking, once Chris Paul starts hitting more shots, like, I don't know what the ceiling for that team is. Like, they're not going to be a contender in terms of being able to knock off the Lakers unless an injury happens to Los Angeles, but in terms of, like, could they be the two seed? Like, at this point, I don't think that's crazy.
I mean, two seed seems pretty extreme to me, but I guess you're right. You know, like, they've been getting some growth we've seen already from Cam Johnson, from Mikal Bridges, who that was kind of going to be a question coming into this season, right? They played incredible in the bubble, and it was going to say, okay, no, are they going to be able to do it this year? They added Chris Paul, and like you're saying, it hasn't just been the Booker and Chris Paul show, really. It's been everybody contributing for them, so I can see him stringing together some wins, man. If the Suns go from out of the playoffs for a decade to the two seed, I don't know, man. I've been a Chris Paul hater for a long time. I turned the corner last year, but I might have to delete all my takes off the internet if that's the case.
From your power rankings, Zach, especially when you compare it to like your preseason, sort of like where you thought teams might sort of fall in the rankings, who's been the biggest surprise to you? Is it the Suns, or is it even a team that's like way lower than you thought they were going to be?
Yeah, well, I don't want to do this to you, Skeets, but it is the Raptors, right? Like, I didn't expect this to be a smooth season for them, but I still like that team. I will say this. I like that the last three games, Siakam's been really good, despite the missed game winners, and those are looks that I expect him to make. And listen to you guys earlier, I was a little confused, and maybe I'm just biased by the championship season, but I felt like that year he got enough end of game looks where I'm like, all right, I'm comfortable with him as a clutch option. I felt like he did a good enough job there, but in terms of, I guess, maybe last year, this year so far, maybe you just feel differently because you've also got more skin in the game than I do with that. But I do expect this Raptors team to be like in the 4-5 mix by the end of the season. I don't think they're toast by any means.
Four or five in terms of the standings, yeah.
Right. Not in the power rankings.
I was going to say.
Just in the East, sorry.
Talk to me. Yeah. Go ahead, Lee.
One team who had a very strong week, went 4-1 on a road trip, the Oklahoma City Thunder. You bumped them up from 28th to 21st. What's your feel on the Thunder? Are they a team that people are just like, forget about them, and that's why they're racking up wins? Or are they actually kind of like they were last year, just a little bit better than everyone sort of thinks, and they could, you know, a playoff berth is not out of a range of possibility for them?
I do think they'll tail off. Like, I think teams will start taking them more seriously. I don't know that they're being taken that seriously, and I don't want to diminish what they're doing because they're playing really good defense with such a young team. Al Horford and George Hill have been a good influence on those young guys, and they're playing good team basketball. But yeah, like, I've been kind of annoyed at the Thunder because at least early on, there's a lot of like 4-5, 5-5, 6-5, 5-4 teams that makes it really hard to rank them on a weekly basis because I don't know where the hell to put any of these guys at times. And so with the Thunder, they're one of those teams where I'm just like, they'll be bad. I can count on them to be bad. And now they're 4-4 and they're winning these games I don't expect. And I'll admit, like, yeah, it's annoying me. The Thunder are annoying. They're supposed to be losing games. They want to lose games. Their net rating is terrible. Like, they should be, you know, kind of at least looking out for my power rankings. That's what I think they should be doing. Like, they're not being a good teammate to me, and so I think the Thunder need to lose more games.
Has this season been, I mean, I know it's still early, but has it been more difficult to actually, like, slot these teams in because of these weird, like, games? It feels like every night, these weird swings. And, like, obviously because we got a pandemic going on. We got, like, the right. Raptors aren't even playing at home, for crying out loud. Like, has it been more difficult than it usually is, or it is always sort of tough?
It's always, I mean, the early part of the season is always tough, yeah. But it's definitely been more difficult. And I tried to, like, my whole process, and this may shock some of the commenters on the power rankings each week, but I do actually watch the games and put a lot of work in these power rankings. It's usually my entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is me working on these power rankings, much to the chagrin of my girlfriend, who's like, can we at least, like, watch a movie or something? I'm like, no, I've got to see the Raptors win this game. And, like, that's what I got to do. And so, like, the last 2 weeks, I've been like, I'm going to do my, like, really, like, set in and order these teams. So Friday, I get all the updates, I get all the numbers, and I order what I think's going to happen in the weekend. And then the last 2 weeks, Saturday, I go back and I look at what happened Friday night, and it's just obliterated. Like, everything's up in the air. Like, I'm guessing so wrong. And then Saturday, I'm like, all right, I reorder, and I'm like, this is what I think's going to happen. Sunday, I'm who's the dude, Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, that gif where he just throws papers in the air? That's me with the power rankings on Sunday. I'm just like, what am I, like, I'm doing all this pre-work, and it's not...
It's sort of pointless.
It's possible I'm just really bad at guessing what's going to happen in the week. Like, I'm just, I have no idea what I'm doing at this point.
It must feel worth it, though, when on a Monday afternoon or when the rankings come out and you have someone who say, how can you rank us 24th? I can't believe it. You're hating our team. Why did you do this to us? Harper hates it. You know, whoever that, maybe it's the Pistons or someone like that. And you're just like, people do get irrationally angry about a totally subjective ranking that comes out every single week and changes, but they still want to let you know.
And I'm still like, I think I have it in my little preamble there in the intro of like, I just think they're better. If you think they're better, like, go do your own rankings. I'm fine. I'm not going to be like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you can rank them however you want. Like, this is what I feel. That happened, Lee, last week with the Knicks, right? I almost put them in the top 20, and I was very close. And then you know, I got all these Knicks fans like, oh, you just hate the Knicks. Clicks for Knicks. And which, like, oh, yeah, the clicks for ranking them 21st. Like, oh, my God, I'm making so much money now based on that. But then they sucked this past week, and I kind of felt, I was like, yeah, see, maybe I had them too high. You're right. Yeah. Maybe I did rank them incorrectly. And then every once in a while, you know, the Bulls will have a strong finish to the week and Trey's not happy with me. So that happens as well.
He gets in the comments, lets you know about it.
I couldn't believe the Bulls were in the bottom 10 after a 3-1 week.
I know.
And then they went 1-3. They went 1-3 the next week. So I think you were right about
it
that
bounces
one.
Out.
But is that is that the balance though, Zach, of like trying to like, okay, well, here's where they are. Obviously you're not just ranking them like, well, here's the standings, so let's just rank them in order.
Right. Yeah,
are you like, you're trying to look ahead a little bit, right? Or in looking back going, what's real and what isn't, what sticks and what doesn't, right?
Yeah, I try to look at the quality of the wins, who was in, who was out, what the trends are for the team within those wins. Like Siakam, right? They're not playing, they're not winning games, but Siakam's really getting going. So I look at that as a positive sign. With Towns being out last week, I mean, the Wolves are going to be bad regardless, but I had them as the worst team a week ago because they didn't have Towns. So that team without Towns is just not competitive. So like that stuff matters to me. And then looking ahead, I'll be like, I kind of project of, here's what I think's happening right now, and here's what I think is going to hold through the rest of the season. And then from that, I'm looking at, here's what's the schedule over the next 3 weeks? How is this going to look? And so like there are a lot of very subjective factors. And then sometimes I'm just like, I don't think that team's any good. I don't care that they're winning games. Like that team's going to go down.
It's a mirage. Yeah. Well, you said you're like trying to watch as many games as possible, as many teams as possible to get an idea of how they're actually playing and not just the numbers that you're reading about. What's your favorite team to watch right now? Just like pure entertainment standpoint.
That's a good question. It was surprisingly the Hawks for a bit. The Hawks were a lot of fun, and now they kind of tailed off a little bit. I'll say right now, I think my favorite team to watch is probably, it's either Phoenix or I've gotten a lot of, I just think the Hornets are surprisingly fun. Like I'm in on the LaMelo train. Like I think, you know, Bridges and PJ Washington, like I've, can't watch Devontae Graham take another jump shot right now, but everything else, like I'm in on this Hornets team. I don't think it's sustainable, but LaMelo's fun. Like, he throws a bunch of crazy passes. They got high flyers. Bismack Biyombo took a three recently. Like, I'm like, all of it's fun to me.
And the aesthetics too of like the jerseys and the court, I think adds to that too. It's, you know, got that like 90s nostalgia there, and it just looks awesome. That always helps.
Looks great.
When
it looks great.
Team is playing entertaining, and then it looks cool. Okay, so I thought the Hornets might be the mix, and you said the Suns as well.
Zach, you said you're always figuring out who's in and who's out when you're figuring out these rankings. A team that was really low in the rankings early, the Warriors, they didn't have Draymond Green. He's coming back averaging a whopping 4, 5, and 6, but it's completely changed the team. They're 4-2 since he's come back. Steph is obviously incandescent. You cannot guard him right now unless you're the Raptors, and they guarded him, but you know
how it ended
up. Nonetheless, they've been good. The Warriors are good. They're rising up the rankings. I think they jumped 11 spots this week. They're up to 13. Here on No Dunks, though, the main question, are you on Wiggins Island? Do you believe in Wiggins? He's been balling the past week. He hit, like, maybe the most clutch shot of his career, going through his legs a couple of times for a pull-up in Paul George's face. It was wild stuff to see from Andrew Wiggins. Are you buying property?
Even in the Tom Thibodeau era, I think I would see out on a beach yonder, I would see Skeets, and we'd just give a little wave to each other. We were the only two people on Wiggins Island. I haven't left. I've got a mansion there now. I'm visiting the subway every single day. Yep. I love Wiggins Island. It is one of the most incredible destinations. It's not just a vacation. You can build a home there. Like, I'm in on Wiggins Island. I think it's crap that he's getting the same hate that Kelly Oubre gets, because Wiggins is shooting like 40% from three. He's been decent. He's been a great pick and roll player. You know, defensively, it's kind of hit or miss there.
Hit or miss. He's had some good games, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, he's had some good games. Like, he's maybe, this is a weird thing to say, but he's looking more like rookie Andrew Wiggins on defense, which is a very positive thing for him because he actually defended as a rookie, at least one on one. So he's getting a little better there. But yeah, I'm all in on Wiggins Island. I'm never leaving. You couldn't drag me off there.
Wow. We got Lee living there now. He's loving it. He's growing out his hair on Wiggins Island.
Island. And by the way, maybe check out the restricted area on Thursday. Maybe there's a Wiggins Island reference. Hey. I don't know. Maybe we'll flash that out. Yeah.
There you go. Check out the restricted area on YouTube. Shout out to Waz. Yeah. Shout out to Waz. Yeah, I knew you were still there. You do have the biggest property. It's you got immaculate acreage there that you're taking care of.
Nobody will visit me. Yeah. Nobody wants to see my place. I have an incredible place there. No one wants to see it, but it's there.
I can see you in a robe there, having a pipe out on the balcony, just really
just walk
enjoying
out of the balcony, arms raised, like, oh, let the sun hit you. It's great.
We talked about the Wolves at one point being the worst team in the league. You said you had the Kings. Like, do you really think the Kings are the worst team in the league, or are they just slotted in week four there in the power rankings, number 30th?
I mean, before last night, like, I was watching their games. I'm just like, this isn't an NBA team the way they're playing. Like, Buddy Hield has been horrific. Obviously, the Bagley drama, the Fox stuff. Like, he's been okay, but he's not been any good, at least in terms of leading a team. Holmes has been solid, and Harrison Barnes has been solid. Obviously, Halliburton's good for a rookie, but no, this team's been terrible. I mean, they still have the worst defense in NBA history. It's 11 games, and you do have several teams doing that right now, at least in the top 10 for worst team defense in NBA history. So there is a lot of that trend going on. I don't know that they'll fix it at any point, because I just also look at that roster. I'm like, it's not good. Like, they just don't have a rotation that I think you can cobble together to get wins consistently. So I don't know what they do from there. Maybe they're not the worst team moving forward, but they're bottom five the rest of the season, probably. Like, I just don't see a whole lot of hope there.
Yeah, I think who would else be in the running? The Wolves, unfortunately, especially.
Wolves will be there. Pistons will be there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I want you to rank the following power rankings. Yours at The Athletic. Schumann's at NBA.com.
That's a good one.
Or like the conglomerate that does ESPN's power ranks. And there's like 8 guys that do that one. 8 men or
that
women,
one's
maybe.
Out. That one.
Oh, that one's out. Why? Why? Because it's too many people.
Yeah, we're out. I'm gonna throw a little shout out to my guy Mo Dakhil. He does the power rankings this season for Bleacher Report.
Yes, good call.
But he's still gonna be towards the bottom, because not gonna be that big of a bone. So I'll go 4th is the ESPN conglomerate. I'll put Mo's for Bleacher Report at 3rd. Man, you know what? Whatever. I'll be egotistical. I'm putting Schumann second. I'm putting me number one.
Oh, there we go.
So much work in that stuff every single week. I got the best power rankings out there. They're often wrong, but they're the best ones.
That's what's important with power rankings. None of they're right. They're the best ones. They're the most fun ones. You know, Schumann's gonna just have those little like stats, like, oh, he's third in pick and roll coverage in the NBA. You know,
right? Exactly.
Like,
oh, I get it. Here's some smart writing with the power rankings. You don't get that with me. You're getting fun.
You're getting GIFs or GIFs, however you want to
Remember.
That's right. I love that you had to cut down on the number of GIFs that you were including in the power rankings.
There were two battles I lost. I wanted to order 30-1 because that's how I, like, no one's scrolling down to see who's 30th. So I wanted that, but I lost that battle. And then, it was killing everyone's phone and data. And so you just can't do that. You had to cut it down to 15.
Because you had a GIF for every team. Yeah, a GIF on the beat.
And then, and it's actually a lot easier for me because coming up with 30 of those things every week was hard. 15's hard enough. So trying to keep it somewhat fresh. I'm pretty sure I've repeated some several times.
All weekend to write the thing, though. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, so I probably... I'm on radio from like 7 to 10 a.m. on Friday mornings, and then I have a pod from 10 to 11, and then I have radio from 7 to 10 at night. So usually in that like 1 to 4 range, for me, like I'm working on power rankings, kind of ordering things. Saturday I'll spend about 5-6 hours on it, and then it's pretty much from like noon to whenever I finish. Like 2 weeks ago, I finished at 1:30 in the morning on Sunday. And then last week I finished 10:45 at night. Super happy with that. Got to bed. It was great. That's when I was feeling great. And then, you know, last night happens.
Then they're all wrong. Are you finding any time to continue to work on your 3-point shot?
No, I can't find
not
a court anymore.
At all.
They took the rims off my local one, or they put the locks on them. So, but I, you know, Lee, you know, that burner's always hot. I'm never worried about that.
Like, can you beat Lili in a 3-point contest? I mean, you're confident in your power rankings. Are you confident in that?
Yeah. So I was asked, I think I was asked who the best shooter was of the media, and Lee's up there. So I think. Lee, Seth Partnow's got a heater. He can shoot.
David Menemen's got a nice shot.
Dave can shoot. Who else? He's not really in it anymore, but Beckley Mason was a pretty good shooter back in the day. But, you know, I feel I think it's a coin flip with me and Lee.
Wow, you gotta make this.
The confidence isn't a problem.
Lee's a better set shooter. Like, I'm probably better off the dribble. That's where my
right. So 3-point contest Lee might have.
3-point contest. It's gonna be a coin flip, I think. But Lee's a great shooter. Lee's really good.
we gotta make it happen when we're allowed to be around other people again. I mean, at any time. That'd be a fun event.
Power rankings
are cool, but media shooter power rankings? that's rising to number one right now.
I was devastated that I didn't get to go to that media game in the Bay Area. A year and a half ago or whatever. I couldn't make it up there, and I was just watching. I was just like, man, I could be having a heart attack next to these guys right now. I could have hit a three and just collapsed. Like, I would have been great.
Well, I hope you saw how that one ended there, Zach.
Oh,
I remember.
You were finals MVP, weren't you? According to Danny LaRue, weren't you?
Yeah, it ended with us like yelling at Trevon Edwards, like, because he was supposed to be our ringer, like, hey, he's going to represent, you know, the Count the Dings crew, and he was terrible. He was awful. He played college ball, like, he's good.
Yeah,
I played with him before. He was awful.
That happens, right? You have those days.
I guess so.
What was that called? The Metro Media
Jam.
Yeah.
I think Quinn Cook was an announcer or something like that. It was something weird.
He was there,
He was there.
He was just hanging out.
He was there.
He was working on his media power rankings.
Yeah, right. Any other questions for Zach here? We're going to keep you around to the end of the show if you don't mind, Zach.
Oh,
I know
you're
a busy guy.
Yeah,
but any other questions, Trey?
Well, we heard this week after LaMelo Ball had his first triple-double, youngest in league history, they did an interview with him after the game. They said, how are you so good at rebounding? He said, I played a lot of 21 growing up, which, understandable. You got to be able to do everything on the court when you're playing 21. But for me, I played 32. What'd you play growing up?
Oh, we played 21.
21.
We played 21. And what's weird is in eighth grade, I remember we would, like, we had plenty of courts and plenty of basketballs, but we would just play like a 19-person game of 21.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
Chaos. Like,
yeah,
it was
we see,
chaos. I'm just
in
like,
Canada, we called that So 21 to me growing up was like the classic free throw shooting, right? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're scoring points at the line, and then you just rebound wherever you got the rebound, then you shoot, all that. But when we would add a third, fourth, fifth, sixth player, whatever, we called that American 21. I don't know why we called that American 21, where it's like this one-on-one game where you said, Zach, you can have up to like 19 people playing in the gym.
Yeah, we should have just been running fives the whole time.
But
did you guys play with if you tip in, it was like a clear, it would, like if you had a one-handed tip, it would like clear someone's points completely out. Like we had these weird rules that got thrown into it where like if you tip someone's missed shot, it screwed over the person that missed the shot.
Definitely had tips. If you tipped it in, I don't think we had stipulations with regards to the hands. If you're one hand, two hand, you're going back to zero if you tip. But for us, 32 was the game where you're playing twos and threes, no tips. And like you're saying, you're just trying to score through 100 people standing underneath the lane. It's basically impossible. Somebody's getting hurt. You're in high school. Who cares? You'll heal the next day.
You had to learn how to be a jump shooter. Like, that's what you had to do. You just had to learn how to shoot.
Yeah, it didn't matter how great your handles were. You weren't getting around 100 guys in the paint.
Not Curly Neal out there. Shoot. It wasn't going to happen. Yeah,
you had to shoot. All right. Well, let's take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, but we do have Tweet of the Night. What do you got, Trey?
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You said like 8 words in that ad read that I didn't even know were words.
Hey, man. There is a wide world of mushroom research out there, and it's fascinating stuff. It's honestly fascinating stuff. Think of everything underneath the ground that we don't know about. Mycelium.
Foraging in your cup. That's what they should go with.
That's not bad.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
This is like the equivalent of Zach Harper ranking his power rankings first in all of the power rankings, because I'm giving Tweet of the Night to myself. Yeah, Tweet of the Night goes to @JESkeets, because I shared this video last night. This happened in the Grizzlies-Cavaliers game. Weird moment with Andre Drummond and Kyle Anderson. Like, Drummond's telling him to back up, I guess, for the jump ball, and then he goes over because he's, like, not moving, and touches him on the thighs. Yeah, and then Kyle Anderson flops, Zach. It's so weird.
I've never seen someone push someone by the thighs before. Like, that was the weirdest part of me. I saw that last night. I was like, what? Who pushes anybody by the thighs?
I guess you'd do it to like in a kid's game, maybe, if a kid just sort of has never played before and it's like, no, you got to move out, and you're trying to like move his thighs, but not a professional NBA player who doesn't seem to understand the rules and the requirements of where he has to stand for a jump ball.
Chetty Osmond is so mad at that whole situation too. If you look at him, he's just like, come on guys, what are we doing?
I just literally, my caption for that video was LOL, what? Like, what? Yeah. I have so many cues. I don't know if people even followed up with Drummond after the game about this, or Kyle Anderson. Like, they're obviously like joking here. It's all in good fun, but like, what a weird, weird clip. The NBA always delivering. So Tweet of the Night to me. Congrats, me. What a tweet. Ah, that's fantastic. Pick 'em results from last night. It was the Raptors-Blazers game. Blazers were favored by 5.5. They won the game, but they didn't cover. So 3 of us had Toronto. Taz had them, Trey, you had them, and I had them. So that's a win, at least in the pick 'em, Lee. Sorry, you take the L on that one. Lee, you're 4-8 here, mate. For our first pick'em of the season. So you're 4-8, Trey's 5-7, Tass is 6-5, and I'm 7-5. No, I did that wrong. I added that wrong. Someone's wrong there. But anyway, I'm leading, and then it's Tass, Trey, and Lee in some order. Tonight's game, though, is the Pacers-Warriors. Zach, I just want to get your take. Warriors favored by 2.5. If you were a betting man, Who are you going with tonight, Pacers Warriors?
I actually think things have been trending a little too hot for the Warriors lately. I'll take the Pacers. Second out of a back-to-back is tough, but I do think I think the Pacers come out and they'll be good defensively tonight. I think they'll win that game.
Okay, a straight-up win. Trey, who do you got tonight? Warriors are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, Zach's right. It is second night of the back-to-back for the Pacers. Also, their third game in four nights. They've lost 2 in a row. Could use a win. Would make those power rankings look good. But I'll take the Warriors. They've been too good lately. And I got a feeling the Pacers are going to be a little tired. Just a little bit tired.
A little tired. Lele, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm so cold. I just feel the Pacers are going to have a little bounce back and just get that one. Warriors 2.5. I think the Pacers do it tonight. So give me Indiana on the road.
Oh, now
so
I feel
that basically locks in the Warriors to get it tonight.
I was going to say, I'm fading you like crazy. Give me the Warriors. I was going to take Indiana, but I'm just taking the Warriors now because Lee's going with Indy. So I'll take the Warriors to win by 3, and let's hear who Tass has.
First, that's what happens when you don't care about your pick, Lee. You lose. Second, if no one cares, should we even bother doing this segment? And third, I don't care. I'm taking the Pacers.
Oh, wow. Okay, yes, Tass referencing Lee not caring yesterday when it came to his pick.
It was more just trying to put too much thought behind it. It was just like, oh, I don't really know. There's no real form right now. Every night there's something crazy happening, so...
True. Just like, bring a coin, mate, and just flip it right here live on the show. See what happens. Heads or tails. Why not? Try it tomorrow if you lose again, okay? You got to give that a go. Zach, where can the people, what's the easiest way for the people, obviously, to follow all your work?
Talk Hoops across all social media platforms.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
I can't
believe.
You get
all the tweets, the articles, the radio shows, the podcast, the video show, all that stuff, all right there.
You are a busy man. I had no idea you were doing that much radio. Is that normal that you're doing in the morning and then the late shift as well?
Just on Fridays. Fridays I do that. Fridays I usually talk to Amin Alhassan for about 8 hours professionally, which is way too long.
My goodness. Shout out to Amin Alhassan joining the pirate ship, right? Dan Levitar.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fun.
That is fantastic. So shout out to Amin. But that's a lot of time to talk to Amin. I like Amin too. Eight hours.
Too much.
Well, I actually feel bad for Amin talking to you for 8 hours.
Both of us, it's usually like around the second half of that radio show, like halfway through hour five of the day of at least talking on the radio into that sixth hour of radio where we're like, we got to bring a guest on. We can't talk to each other anymore. Right. We have to bring somebody in. So if you guys are up late, feeling a little antsy on
Friday
midnight,
night?
East Coast time. Come on.
All right.
Mad Dog Sports Radio.
Good to know. Guys, email us your NBA questions. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Check out Tass's mini recap pod, What You Need to Know. That's up on our No Dunks YouTube feed. Of course, it's in the No Dunks podcast feed as well. Go grab your No Dunks merch at NoDunks.com. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic so you can read Zach Harper's power rankings, the best power rankings in the biz. Sorry, Schumann. It's a fact. You ain't going to hashtag well actually me on that one, Shu, because that's my opinion.
No, you're not. Oh, congrats on being smart. I'm not.
So go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Sign up for a subscription to The Athletic. $3.99 a month. Again, you'll get the power rankings. You get Hollinger. You get Hall of Famer David Aldridge. And you get all the podcasts as well, not just No Dunks. Ad-free. You also get the Athletic NBA show, which Zach is obviously on. So go take advantage of that offer. Zach, thanks so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you guys know I'm a big fan, so thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, don't feel bad about putting yourself number one. If you don't do it, who will?
Brace the day, people.
You could stay.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.